This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Game week 13 was unlucky for some. Background Ben had another poor week. The special one began with a win. Suddenly Kane's prospects don't seem so bleak. Sadio Mane loves finding the net. And Vardy, well, VAR. From 3 points to 12 points in a matter of minutes, which manager will be waving ta-ta? Silva, Flores, Emery and Solskjaer are all under serious threat. Our triple captain ready for the festive fixtures, you ask? Yes, yes, you bet. Welcome to Triple Captain.
Oh, it's so much more slick than last week, wasn't it?
Very well done.
I liked in like the second line how you already had a dig at Ben straight away.
Yeah, what was that about? Literally straight away.
Well, I just noticed that you'd had another poor week, so game week 13 was unlucky for some.
Thank God for Aston Villa last night. I got 18 points from Villa players last night.
Wow.
Oh my God. And how many have you got? Have you got three?
Yeah. Heaton, Gilbert, and obviously the legend, McGinnie Esto, who did nothing. But Gilbert got two bonus points, you know.
I saw that, yeah, yeah. I saw that. And he's only 4.4, so
yeah,
not a bad bench filler that could come in, you know, when Villa have got good fixtures. Yeah. How did you do this week, Rich? Do you want to tell everybody who's ahead out of me and you now?
Yeah, I've been waiting for this. It's been coming. I think you were ahead for maybe the first week or the second week, and then I've been ahead of you ever since.
Yeah.
But now you've edged ahead. What are you, 10 points ahead, something like that?
No, I think it's only 6.
Oh, is it? Okay. So it's still close.
I mean, very close.
We're doing well. But I've, in all honesty, I've been waiting for this moment because I knew it was coming. There's only so much. I was riding this wave of like beginner's luck, and now, you know, the professionals are starting to take pride of place higher up in the league. So fair play to you. You're doing well. You've earned it. I'll give you that one.
Thanks,
but I still had an all right week, to be fair. So
yep.
It's so annoying. So for the third week on the trot, I've had higher than the average. So the average for game week 13 was 49 and I got 59. And for the third week on the trot, I've had a red arrow. It's so annoying. Just goes to show that you need to get significantly higher than the average, you know, when you're trying to push into that top 100,000.
Just yeah.
It's so frustrating because I think I was 149,000, then I was like 160,000 last week, and now I'm 181,000. So I'm just dropping down slowly but surely. So yeah, I need a big week this week to just get me back into the the glory zone of the top 100,000. But yeah, all in all, decent week. The man who got me most of my points was Sadio Mane, captained him for the third week running. And I think that's the third week on the trot he scored as well, so he's been a good choice. Once again, Vardy got me a goal. De Bruyne got me a goal. And Vardy almost also got me loads of bonus points, and so did Aubameyang. So I did quite well. Just at the back, the only one that let me down was Rico, who got a massive fat zero. So yeah, not too bad. I did okay. 59 points in total. How did you get on?
Yeah, I was glad about Rico, you know, because I think people, not you, Rich, and I think it was a good decision. He's not a bad player to have in your team, but
yeah,
the fact that Bournemouth got those few clean, what I mean is Bournemouth got those few clean sheets and then everybody rushed to get him in. And I thought, no, they won't keep keeping the clean sheets. You got him in at exactly the right time, to be fair, and you got those clean sheets. But I thought people are going to rue getting him in because Bournemouth can't defend most of the time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I was quite lucky because, well, I'm not lucky because I didn't get any points for him. But the guy who I did have in my starting team was Lowton. And Burnley have drawn their last two, won their last two games 3-0, so two clean sheets. But they've been playing bloody 34-year-old Phil Bardsley and not Matthew Lowton. And Lowton's played in every game this season and he's dropped him for the 2-3-0 wins, which I would have got two clean sheets out of him. Absolutely gutted about that. Come on, Dyche.
You can't plan for that. Like, if someone's been playing every game, you think they're going to be nailed to start. If they're suddenly not, that's so unlucky. So I got 67 this week. Nick Pope with 9 points, which was lovely. Soyuncu, wow, 6. Son, my patience with Son has finally paid off. He got a massive 13. Vardy got 12. Jimenez 7. De Bruyne 7, and the rest were twos. But captain fail again for me. Just absolutely gutting.
You've not had luck with it at all.
I really haven't. I mean, I went with Sterling, and watching the game was pretty horrible because he was so quiet. He hardly touched the ball, and it was only when Aguero was brought off and he kind of played a little bit more centrally, that he started to look dangerous. And obviously he got his goal, and it's such a shame to see it chalked off by VAR. But really, from the way he played, he didn't deserve a goal. And yeah, it was a strange one to watch. I'm just looking now at City's lineup, and Sterling is starting tonight, so that's interesting. Okay.
But you mean you'd expect that, wouldn't you?
Because he probably would. They still need a point, don't they? They still need a point to go through, so that is to be expected. But yeah, if I'd have gone with my vice captain Vardy, I'd have had a nice big green arrow. Yeah. As it was,
he had a great week, didn't he?
He had another good week. But yeah, I mean, it shows the fine margins, doesn't it? I mean, what happened in that Leicester game? Didn't Maddison take the penalty, scored the rebound, and then the penalty had to be retaken, and Vardy took it. So
fuming about that.
I mean,
absolutely.
Sorry, well, no. Vardy took the penalty, didn't he?
Yeah.
So Vardy took the penalty. I don't have Vardy. Think, oh God, here we go. Vardy pen. He missed the penalty. It would have been... How many points is it for a miss?
Minus two. So he would have been on three. Yeah.
Maddison follows up and scores it after we take the penalty. Vardy scores it, obviously, because I haven't got him.
Yeah, I mean,
or
that's...
Or do I? Until now.
Until now. I mean, yeah, that was crazy, wasn't it? Because that was the difference. If you captain Vardy, suddenly you've gone from 6 points to 24. because the penalty happened to be retaken. I mean, come on, that's crazy.
It's outrageous.
Yeah, so just to go back to my team, a very small green arrow up to 140k. So hopefully
there's 6 points between me and you.
Yeah.
And 40,000 places.
40,000 places, yeah. So every point really does count at the moment. So yeah, I think make sure each week, especially heading into this Christmas period, make sure your bench is set up well. Every point counts, even if it's just 1 point. It will move you
absolutely up. I mean, if you're taking that -4 hit, you're probably going to drop 20,000-30,000
which is why I haven't taken any hits yet this season. And
I've taken two. I could be in like 120,000th or something.
Yeah, but sometimes it pays off, doesn't it? I mean, there was a week where you took a hit to get Vardy and Maddison in, and they both scored highly. So it does work. And I'm actually considering it this week to get Mane in, but I haven't decided yet. Plus, I kind of want two free transfers the week after. And it's complicated. So talking points.
Cool. So our three topics this week we're going to talk about are massive letdowns. So there's at least four managers in the Premier League who are under loads of pressure. And we're going to look at the players that have let them down and coincidentally let down your fantasy Premier League teams. And we're also going to talk, we've talked about this a little bit over the past few weeks, but for sure now, surely, paying big bucks for those premium defenders is dead. It must be dead. So we'll talk about that. We're also going to be talking about brand new Spurs, and are they going to be revitalised under their new manager, Jose Mourinho, which we didn't think was going to happen at the recording last week.
No, we didn't. We had to cut out a lot of what we said about Spurs because there was an article on Sky Sports that day saying that Pochettino leaving might be a long, drawn-out process. Little did we know that Daniel Levy had already lined up Jose Mourinho to take over. I mean, just you can hear my thoughts on that in a moment. But first, we've had a couple more reviews on iTunes. So thank you so much, guys, for reviewing us. Please, please subscribe. Please rate us and please give us a review. It helps to keep us going, basically. So we've had one from N London, which said, Noice, spelled N-O-I-C-E, 5 stars. Well-produced podcast. Many other FPL podcasts are poor sound quality. None of these guys are dull to listen to or repetitive. Keep it up. I'm not saying that I agree with him about the other FPL podcasts. I like a lot of the other FPL podcasts.
You do agree that this one is particularly well-produced.
This is very well-produced. But no, as is very, very well-produced indeed. We're all set up here. We've got the laptop, the webcam, the mic, like headphone splitters. We've got everything.
Let's just forget the fact that we're recording this week's episode. Well, I'm recording this week's episode in my bed. We're not all recording this episode in my bed, which is what I was about to say.
That's next week.
You dirty swine, Rich. And also, we've got a lovely...
That's a different podcast.
We've got a lovely rug here that I'm rubbing to help with sound quality.
Which I know it sounds stupid, beautiful, but actually putting a rug on the table does help. I won't get into the kind of boring producer things about why it helps and dampening of sound, etc. But
maybe we could do that. Yeah, I think we're getting into the boring producer things here. Maybe that could be a bonus feature where Ben just sits and talks producing language for half an hour.
Oh, I would love that. Please email like triplecaptain@soundrebel.co.uk if you would listen to that podcast.
Then we had another one from Ando2688 with three thumbs up. Good chat, good tips, great show. So thank you.
Nice. Ando. Mustn't have had much time to leave that review. Very
thank
short,
you,
very
Ando
brief.
That's what I like. 2688. We love that. Right. So, Rich, talking point one, massive letdowns. Who's letting their manager down and who is letting their FPL managers down this season?
Follow Triple Captain on Twitter and Instagram. @TripleCaptain3.
So the four teams I wanted, there was four teams in particular I wanted to talk about. I'd say they're all underperforming this season. I think the majority of football fans would agree with me. West Ham, Arsenal, Everton and Manchester United. They're the four teams for me that are massively underperforming. I mean, you could throw Watford into that as well because nobody expected them to be doing that poorly. But first off, I just wanted to talk about Arsenal just because they were playing Southampton the other day and Arsenal, at the start of the season, it was they win at home and they'd play poorly away. But now they're playing poorly at home as well. And the main thing for me, just for those of why they're so poor, is they invested £72 million in Pepe. And he's played in 12 of the 13 games this season for Arsenal. And he's only scored one goal, which I think was it a penalty? And I think he scored 20-plus goals in France last season. So they've invested so much into that to make them kick on. And it's just been a massive letdown, not just for Arsenal and Emery and FPL, because I think there was a point where Ben, you put Pepe in your team. How long did he last?
2 weeks.
Yeah, I put him in and got his one assist that week.
Oh, did you? Oh,
yeah, yeah. God. I just put him in for 1 week. I think it was either before my wild. No, it was when De Bruyne got injured. So I put Pepe in for 1 week. Then it was the internationals and De Bruyne came back. So I put him straight back in. But I was lucky to get that one assist. And I think he got 6 points that week.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But do you reckon he'll come back into, well, not back into form, but do you reckon he'll find any kind of form that he was able to, you know, hit in France?
I can't see it. I mean, he's, although sometimes it does take players time to adjust, doesn't it? But you'd expect his numbers to be better so far. You really would. And perhaps he needs another manager. I said it last week on the pod, didn't I? I could see Southampton winning that game and Emery getting sacked. And as it was, they got that last minute equaliser, didn't they? And I think if Lacazette...
So many chances.
Yeah, exactly. And if Lacazette hadn't popped up at the end with a goal, Emery might well have been gone by now. And I think, there's no signs of there's no positive signs there, is there, at the moment. I think
no.
I think the player that hasn't been letting manager down FPL wise and is Aubameyang. He's consistently scored points throughout the season. He's only had four games where he hasn't got an attacking return in so far. So that's good. That is good returns. Although he's 11 million, I think he's doing the best he can.
Yeah, incidentally, I'm bringing Aubameyang out this weekend just because I want to ride that Spurs new manager wave, which we'll come on to talk about later on.
Interesting.
But obviously it's not just Pepe who's let down Arsenal and, is their manager as well. The defence in Sokratis and Luiz, Arsenal, who, you know, in my eyes, they've always been one of them teams that should be like competing for the title. They've only had two clean sheets. Arsenal, which is ridiculous. And I mean, they brought in David Luiz, who at the start of the season was meant to be like their big signing. And they've just not lived up to the standards, which, you know, many Arsenal fans thought they would have. Do you think Arsenal might just need a whole kind of squad, like turnover in next season? Just especially at the back, just because they're so weak all over the place, whether it's from, you know, the front line or all the way back to the defensive line.
Well, they need centre backs and they need centre midfielders. I think pretty much like United, we could do with a centre back and two new central midfielders as well. It's that spine of the team, isn't it, that you have to get right. And Arsenal just haven't got it. I mean, David Luiz is 5.8 million. He was one of the highest scoring defenders last season for Chelsea, I think. And he's been a huge letdown, hasn't he? He's a liability, that guy. I mean, I remember against that goal that Salah scored against him. It was just like absolutely skinned him. And the wrong signing for Arsenal, really. So, it doesn't look good for them, does it?
No, not at all. I mean, you mentioned Manchester United there. That's one of the other teams in my list. And I think you're more qualified than anybody else to talk about the woes of Manchester United. I mean, I've put down here two players in particular. I put Fred and I put down Pereira. And then instead of picking out a single defender, I've just put all defenders. Apart from maybe Brandon Williams, who had a good game against Sheffield United. But yeah, where do you think it stems from for United? I can see you rubbing your face now.
I mean, my head is in my hands. And it to be honest, it's another reason that I'm grateful for doing this podcast, because it's a release to be able to actually speak about it in a public forum, just get my frustrations out. But yeah, it was another absolutely horrendous performance from Man United. They didn't deserve to go 3-2 up. There was, you know, you could argue that Rashford, Martial and James came to life actually when once Jesse Lingard actually had a decent game when he came on at half time, and you know they came to life after 70 minutes and caused Sheffield United lots of problems. But I tweeted at half time that I think Fred is the worst player that I've ever seen in a United shirt. There's nobody worse. A few people came back at me with Jemba Jemba, and I said, well, Jemba Jemba was managed by Alex Ferguson, so that instantly made him better. Fred is honestly the worst player I've ever seen in a United shirt. Pereira,
but I don't know what his role is in the team.
Like, exactly. There's no role there, and he can't shoot, he can't pass, he can't cross, he can't tackle, he can't do anything. He's so bad.
So are you
bad.
Considering him for this game week then? Yeah.
yeah, I'm bringing him in. I mean, you know, again, it was injuries that hit us. We spoke about, didn't we, when United were in bad form, that people don't mention the injuries. And you have got to mention that. Pogba's still out, and he is our best player, and he's out injured. McTominay's out injured. So, and we really missed McTominay in the middle. Fred and Pereira were just absolutely horrendous.
Yeah.
Brandon Williams
well,
got his
sorry,
goal,
just going
but
back
he was
to the
in
defenders.
Trouble. Go on.
I was just going to say, yeah, going back to the defenders.
Yeah.
Is there anyone who's really delivered out of the back line? Obviously, you brought in Maguire and Wan-Bissaka at right back for quite a lot of money. Have they lived up to the standards? Obviously, you're not expecting attacking returns from them, but have they been up to scratch?
Maguire certainly hasn't. No, I think he's been a big letdown so far. And you just look at the team's clean sheets, and on paper, you know, Luke Shaw, Maguire, Lindelof and Wan-Bissaka is a good back four with De Gea behind them. On paper, that's a really good defence, but they haven't kept enough clean sheets. Maguire was arguably at fault again for that McBurnie equaliser in the last minute. I mean, why on earth Solskjaer took off Martial for Tuan Zabi to try and close out the game is absolutely beyond me. They could have gone and got a fourth goal. Sheffield United were on the ropes. Even Gary Neville said in commentary, keep attacking. They're going to be better off if they keep attacking, but they didn't. They invited Sheffield United to come on to them again, and it was just horrendous. The fact that McBurnie's able to just shoulder it and put it into the net with Maguire kind of falling over, absolutely pathetic. And to be honest, I think now Pochettino's available, Ole's got to go, because he's just... I've been a big supporter of him, but he's just been clueless, particularly this season.
I mean, he's going to have to walk out, isn't he, surely? Because, I mean...
Yeah, absolutely clueless.
If you say on the defensive back line on paper is good, then usually it is down to the manager.
Yeah.
But that's the reason for them not performing well. Because, you know, like they said, they've done well wherever they've been, the previous players. So they've obviously got something about them for Manchester United to sign them.
Yeah.
For me, it just purely comes down to Solskjaer.
Yeah, I think if you got points for tackles and you got points for performances, Wan-Bissaka would be up there with the highest point scorers in the game. But obviously, you don't get rewarded for that in FPL. So he's not worth bringing in at all because of the rest of the team. But I'd say he is... definitely matched up to expectations. I think he's been really good most of the time.
Has there been anyone at Manchester United this season who's been like worthwhile having in your FPL team? Because I can't really think of anybody at all apart from maybe Dan James getting in. Maybe he offers like a decent bit of value, but he's still pretty inconsistent. I mean, you could argue Rashford's been in decent form recently, but I still don't think I'd have him in my FPL team.
Yeah, I'm just looking here. I mean, he's the fourth highest striker in the game, so I think you could definitely argue the case for Rashford at 8.6 million is, you know, a bit of a differential to say Tammy Abraham, but Abraham's cheaper, so you couldn't really, I mean, if it was a straight up choice between, you know, Rashford or Abraham, you'd pick Abraham because of his price, and he's in a better side. And Jimenez as well is around Rashford's price bracket, but is 1.2 million cheaper. So you'd kind of probably rather have Jimenez. So yeah, I get what you're saying. But Rashford has played very well this season. And again, he got 11 points against Sheffield United. Once we got going, he was a real threat. I still think Martial's a good option because he's number nine, particularly when United play at home. He tends to perform well. I'm thinking about taking him out in order to be able to get Mane in, because I can't get Mane in one move now because he's gone up to 12.2 million and I've got Sterling who's 12. So I could facilitate Mane coming in by moving Martial to say Willian or someone a bit cheaper. So I don't know. I think I'll probably keep him for the Villa game at home. But yeah, it's just dire at the moment. Old Trafford, it really is. And even if we'd won that game, I'd still be saying the same thing.
All right. So to stop you falling into tears, magic sounds like you're going to do in a minute. I'll move on to another team. I want to talk about Everton. So Everton, I went to the Everton game on the weekend and it was just... Oh my God. I feel like I've probably watched that game at Goodison maybe about 10 times over the last 4 years, where it's got to the point where the fans just turn on the manager and the players just put in the most drab, flat performance like you've ever seen. Like, I've heard Everton fans say that's the worst game I've ever seen at Goodison already twice this season. And it's the performance. It's just, there's no creativity in it whatsoever. And that just, for me, comes down to the fact that our number 10, Sigurdsson, it's just having the worst season I think he's probably had since that season he moved to Tottenham. At the start of the season, I had him in my team. I'm sure you two were considering him.
I had him in.
Yeah, and I think he's had one goal, and that was when he came off the bench in the win over West Ham, who were one of these other teams that I probably could have talked about letting down their manager. But yeah, again, it all stems around us having no proper number 10. And Luca Dean also hasn't been delivering for us as well. And Dean had more open play crosses than anybody else last season. I think he was the third highest scoring defender in the game behind Robertson and Alexander-Arnold. And he's just nowhere near matched those levels at all this season.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about Luca Dean, but I think you've covered it there. And is there kind of no signs of anything positive from? I mean, would you pick anyone right now from Everton for your team?
Well, there was one point a few weeks ago where I had three Everton players. I had Luca Dean, Alex Iwobi and Gylfi Sigurdsson. I got excited because Iwobi scored two headers in two games. And I was like, got to get him in. He's only 5.8 million. He's bargain. And yeah, he's on the bench every week now. So yeah, it's pointless having him anymore. There's really not much to shout about. I mean, Tom Davis has looked okay in central midfield, but he doesn't score any goals. You know, he doesn't do any defending. He's not really anything for your FPL team. But there's just nothing to get you excited at the moment about being an Everton fan. Pickford still seems to be playing at an okay level, but not, you know, the heights he has hit in the past. The defensive line's all over the place. Mina and Holgate just aren't a partnership at all. And the same issue we've had since Lukaku left. We just haven't been able to get a goal scorer. So there's not. I'd probably have Watford players over Everton players at the moment. That's how poor Everton are playing.
Do you think Keane should be given more minutes? I don't think he's played enough, has he, to kind of even start to make an impression?
Moise Keane, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's not really. He's not had a chance. He looks like he played in a lot more games at the start of the season. In fact, he's not even played in the last four games, I don't think. He's not made an appearance, not managed to get off the bench. I mean, against Norwich, I was saying this before we started recording, we were 1-0 down against Norwich. And who'd you bring on to find an equaliser? Do you bring on your new £30 million Italian under-21 international striker? No, we'll bring on 31-year-old Seamus Coleman and put him at right-back. It's just the most stupid decision, but that just shows how little confidence Marco Silva has in Moise Keane, which is a shame because he seemed to be really promising when we signed him in pre-season. And yeah, he's not kicked on. He does need more minutes, but that's what any striker needs, just to match the pace and the speed of the Premier League, and he's unfortunately not been able to do that in the few minutes that he's played.
And of course, you Everton go away to Leicester next on Sunday, which could be a mauling, couldn't it, really?
And then after that, we're going to Anfield.
Get Silva out.
I mean, he's not gone yet. You know, the worst thing about all this is that the two managers we're being linked with a David Moyes and Mark Hughes, and I just can't.
Jesus. Jesus.
And I don't want Everton to be that team who's on the bloody roundabout of getting these managers in. We've already had Big Sam at one point in our history. It'd be Tim Sherwood. What next? It'd be Tim Sherwood.
Oh God, I hope not for your sake.
I know, flipping heck.
What a miserable Christmas this is going to be.
I know, for me as well.
Join the Triple Captain Mini League. League code JLM166.
Right, anyway, let's move on. Big at the back. Is it dead? 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 I've only got TAA left in my team out of premium defenders. The rest are low and mid-priced options, you know, Soyuncu, Lundstrom. I've now got Williams in from United to warm the bench, to make money for Jimenez. But yeah, I'm thinking about getting rid of TAA and going with no premiums. What about you, Rich? Who have you got? And do you think Big at the Back is well and truly dead?
Yeah, I think it's well and truly dead now. I mean, I'm like you. I had Trent Alexander-Arnold in a few weeks ago, and then I decided to drop him just to reinvest money in my midfield, and so I could have three strikers as well, because he's quite expensive, isn't he? Is he 7 million?
7.1.
That's a lot of money. I mean, I'd probably have him in if Liverpool were still keeping clean sheets every week, but they're just not performing as well defensively as they were last season. But my most expensive defender is Soyuncu at 4.8, and then the next one's Lowen at 4.5. So I've completely moved on from my premium defenders. In fact, you know what? Lowen at 4.5 is probably too expensive. I can probably get a cheaper option than him. But yeah, I don't understand who you'd have in, really, because Alexander-Arnold isn't getting as many assists. Robertson's not getting as many assists. Van Dijk's not scoring. City, I mean, you're brave if you've got any City defenders in your team, because they're just so woeful at the moment. And I think they've got two players who are classed as midfielders on the game playing centre-back as well, in Rodri and Fernandinho. But then no one else, really, who stands out, just because, I don't know, there just seems to be goals coming in from left, right and centre from pretty much every team at the moment. There's not really any sides who are struggling as they have in previous seasons to score goals. So yeah, I think the times of premium defenders are well and truly over.
What about Pereira and Chilwell from Leicester? I mean, Leicester have got best defensive record in the league, haven't they? And Pereira and Chilwell, second and fourth highest scoring defenders. Alexander-Arnold's a little bit further down. I expect Alexander-Arnold to come up with the goods, and there's something in me that says that Liverpool will start keeping clean sheets again. I think they surely could, well, I suppose they probably can score two or three goals each game, but I think surely if they're going to win the league, which they look like they might do, they're going to have to keep some clean sheets. So I think surely they're going to come. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think because they had such a solid back line for all of last season, like I think they just swapped like Gomez for Alexander-Arnold or something. That was like the only change they'd really make to the back line. This year, obviously, they had the issues with the goalkeeper.
Alison,
that's his name. Yeah, I've forgotten his name.
And Matip's injured at the moment as well, isn't he?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. And Matip, everybody kind of like, you know, poo-poos him as like the worst defender at Liverpool. But he's just so integral to just being in that same solid back line week in, week out. That's what you need to have like a good defensive line. Just great communication, which just comes with spending more hours on the pitch with your team. And I think once Matip comes in, rather than Lovren, who you've got to remember is the greatest defender in the world, but he doesn't necessarily fit into that ethos in the Liverpool back line. I think when he comes back, Liverpool will probably keep more clean sheets. Even though I probably wouldn't even have him anywhere near my fantasy team.
Yeah, and you have to go kind of after Lundstrom and Pereira. The next highest scoring defender, Robertson, is 19th out of all FPL players, which is a lot lower than last season. So I don't think Big at the Back is necessarily dead, but I think you can get away with not having any premiums at the moment if, obviously, you spend the money right elsewhere in your team. You know, if you're playing a 3-5-2 with, say, Soyuncu, Lundstrom and Tomori, or even, like, you know, Soyuncu, Lundstrom and Baldock from Sheffield United, and then you've got five strong midfielders and two really strong strikers, you're probably going to get away with that, particularly as Lundstrom's an attacking midfielder who looks like he's going to score every game, got another assist against United, should have scored. So, yeah, I think you can quite easily get away without having those premium defenders at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, It was so lucky that Lundstrom got given that assist, by the way. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, it was a classic.
He had a shot assist. And it bounced back into Fleck, and that went down as an assist.
Yeah.
He didn't mean to find Fleck, come on. But I mean, I'll take the points. I'm not complaining right now, by the way.
So I think that probably about covers it. Let us know your thoughts on Big at the back. How many premiums have you got left in your team, defenders? Are you sticking with them? Are you going to move them out? Are you going to get more in? Let us know your thoughts on that, because I'm kind of still undecided. I think I'll keep Alexander-Arnold for now, but I won't be going any more premium defenders than him until things change. So, last talking point, Spurs.
Triple captain. Email your voice note questions to triplecaptain@soundrebel.co.uk.
So I'm quite excited by Spurs, but only for a short while, because I don't think it'll be too long until we see Mourinho kicking in his Mourinho-ness, where they'll start to play horrific negative football, which I'm sure you're all too familiar with. But this is just the case of getting a new manager in and riding that wave of positivity. Like when Solskjaer came into Manchester United last season and they had like the best run they've ever had in the Premier League or something like that in terms of wins. And now look at them struggling against Sheffield United, that sort of thing. But for me, there's three players that you need to consider for Spurs. Don't know if you'll agree on this, but Kane, Son and Lucas Moura. What do you think on them?
Yeah, I mean, I've got Son still, and I think he remains the most dangerous player in Spurs. Lucas Moura, I worry about rotation, and Kane for me is not as good as Vardy right now. So he'd have to, Vardy would have to really slip down, and Kane would have to really step up in order for me to consider bringing him in. If you're on a wild card and you want a bit of a differential striker to Vardy to get yourself up the rankings, then why not go for Kane? And I think his quality is clearly there. I do think playing a front four of Lucas Moura, Ali, Son and Kane will help Kane, because Pochettino obviously didn't play Moura anywhere near as much as he perhaps should have done. So hopefully he gets a run in the team. I just worry about Mourinho. He's known for rotation. I mean, I remember when he was at United, he didn't play the same 11 for a very, very long time. And, and I feel for Spurs fans with Mourinho coming in. One of my best mates is a Spurs fan, and he texts me on the morning of Mourinho coming in saying, I'm in mourning. I'm genuinely devastated. He said they should have navigated through the period with Poch and given him the chance to rebuild the squad. Jose will not do anything which will be in tune with what Poch has built. I thought Spurs were better than that. Even if he wins a trophy, he won't do it the way it should be done. I cannot believe he's managing the club. He's a complete opposite of what I imagine a Spurs manager to be. So egotistical, all about him. Poch was so dignified and carried himself so well. This decision will haunt our club. I mean, that is,
oh my God.
And he knows his stuff, and he's a big, big poetic Spurs fan. And that is like, that's damning, isn't it? And I think a lot of Spurs fans feel the same about Mourinho. I think he's toxic.
But at the same time, he's won things. I think it was when he was at Manchester United in his latter days there, he's won more Premier League trophies than all the other managers in the Premier League combined.
Yeah. I mean, he won the League Cup with United, and he won the Europa League, and that was good, but the football was awful, and he won
two trophies.
Yeah, but he destroyed the club. I'd have rather had, I know that Liverpool haven't won many trophies, but I'd have, they won the Champions League recently. I'd have much rather had Klopp for those years playing the football that he's played and not won trophies than Mourinho coming in and destroying the club over those 3 years that he was there. He was just, especially towards the end, he was just awful. Yeah. And I think the same thing will happen with Spurs. The same thing happened when he was at Real Madrid. The same thing happened when he was at Chelsea. He just gradually turns on everybody. He's one of those guys, isn't he, that it's never his fault.
Exactly. I mean, when he was at Chelsea, you got to remember he was like still on his, like, getting to the top of his peak, if you will, like on the uphill climb to his peak. And now he's almost definitely over that peak and on his way back down now. And when he was on that way up, he had players like John Terry and Lampard and Drogba just playing all out for Jose Mourinho. And you just, I mean, now is a different time anyway for football anyway. There just doesn't seem to be that relationship with players and managers, apart from, you could argue, Klopp at Liverpool. But he just needs to get these players on side. And if you look at the players who are there, they're all just in love with Poch. Like, you saw like Kane's posts, and even Pochettino left that little message on the whiteboard in the training ground when he left. That's how like close they were as a team. So I just don't think Mourinho is going to deliver that at all. But if he delivers a trophy, a Spurs fan's going to be complaining.
Yeah, I don't know. It remains to be seen. I mean, I've had a bet with my other mate actually that Mourinho won't win a trophy while he's there, and he said he thinks he will. I can't see it. I really can't see it. I think he's past it. I honestly do. But you know, maybe like you say, for the next few weeks, I'm certainly going to be keeping Son because they probably will have that bounce back. You know, new manager taking over, results will probably get better in the short term. I'm glad I've got Son. I'm glad I've got him there, and I haven't got that decision to make of whether to use a transfer to get a Spurs player in, because I would like to assess more, and I certainly won't be getting more than one in at the moment. It's just going to remain as Son.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I mean, it's got to be attacking players. I mean, they still seem to have that like fragility at the back, don't they? Yeah. I mean, he brought Alderweireld back in, who actually did quite all right for me at the start of the season. But yeah, they just don't look very good at the back. But the way that Mourinho usually plays is defensive. So you could argue that they are going to improve their defence. But just for now, in these early exchanges, it doesn't seem to be the right time to bring in a Spurs defender. But the way that Mourinho likes to play, we saw it on the weekend in his first game against West Ham. The counter-attack, like the speed that they broke with. Like if you've got Moura on one side, then you've got Son on the other, and you've got Kane eventually trying to catch them up. You know, one of those three, probably Son is the standout one. I think he's got 6 in his last 6 in all competitions, got a goal and assist against West Ham. If you were to pick any out of the three, for the value as well, it's Son all the way, 100%.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I think that just about covers Spurs.
Follow Triple Captain on Twitter and Instagram at TripleCaptain3.
That just about covers our talking points for this week. Rich, you've already made your moves, haven't you? Who have you brought? You've brought in Son and Ings, is that right?
Yes, that's right. Although immediately I regretted that decision because I've had Lowton in my team for the last 2 weeks at Burnley, but he's been playing Bardsley ahead of Lowton in at right back. So Lowton's just been getting dropped out of my team week in, week out. And I forgot to make that change. I got too carried away wanting to bring in Son. Bringing in Son for the reasons that I said just before. And Danny Ings just because I like the look of Southampton's fixtures. They're not playing too many difficult teams over the festive period. And if anyone's going to score for Southampton, it's usually Danny Ings. So I finally managed to get rid of an injured Hudson-Odoi, and I've also dropped Aubameyang to fund the Son transfer, but now I've got a decent looking team. I'm quite happy with it. There's still, I think, only one more transfer to make it count, but I really didn't want to take the hit this week. Like you said, it's the difference between, you know, being 10,000 places lower or 10,000 places higher. But yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I've not made any moves yet. I've got one free transfer. I may roll it, but I'm concerned about not having Mane or Salah in my team. I've only got TAA from Liverpool, and I really want Mane, but I don't necessarily want to make two moves to get Sterling out and take a -4 before he plays Newcastle, who, according to Ben, who was at the game last night, said that Newcastle were awful. So I'll probably end up rolling the transfer and stick with not taking any hits, because I like the rest of my team at the moment. Most of them have got home fixtures this weekend. Captain at the moment is on Vardy, who's playing Everton at home.
Yeah, good choice, I'd say.
Yeah, and I think, are you on the same? Or are you not sure about your captain yet?
Yeah, I've gone for Captain Vardy, but it's still a toss up between three, actually, between Abraham, Mane and Vardy, just because West Ham just looking dire straits, and
yeah,
Abraham, I think, is due a performance, and it's at Stamford Bridge, so I might bump it onto him as well. I'm not sure yet, so I probably made a decision the day before the game starts.
Good stuff. And very, very quickly, background, Ben is on his wild card. His team is looking very good, actually, from what I've seen. His captain is on Son at the moment. They're at home to Bournemouth, so hopefully he starts pushing himself back up the rankings ahead of this busy Christmas time. So, yeah, good luck, everybody, and may your arrows be green.
Just before we go, Rich...
That's a beautiful outline. I love that.
Just before we go, Rich, you're not going to go on any of the podcasts and... slag us off again, are you?
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, mate. Never do such a thing.
Rich was on a podcast, Dilemmas with Jess Ellis.
Dilemmas with Jess
Ellis.
Which
you've been on.
Yeah, so what did he say? Can we just repeat this now?
Yeah, it's out there now. Go and have a listen. Rich Wolfenden, Radio X, etc. And he's really, you know, sets himself up really well.
Okay.
He then says he does a podcast called Triple Captain. Uh-huh. And he says to Jess, I mean, it's really nerdy.
Nerdy!
Wow.
I don't think we're nerds.
Football nerds.
And then you also said... I do it with your friend Jess, Luke Jurdy, who I'm sure is more of an FPL fan than he is a Man United fan these days. If Man United were playing Man City and Man City beat United but Aguero scored two, you'd still be happy. That's what he said.
Wow. I mean, as you know...
Am I right?
Maybe, no, you're absolutely wrong. I mean, maybe so, I mean, I've got John Lundstrom in my team, and I was screaming when United went 3-2 up. I was so happy.
Was, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't care about Lundstrom's clean sheet.
I thought you were
going to
say you were screaming
because,
yeah.
No. But I think, yeah, you can... half my rant might be cut out, but my 10-minute rant about United earlier probably shows that I'm more passionate about them. That I'd much rather United win than my FPL team do well. So hopefully that.
I take it back.
But that wasn't really him. I mean, I knew Ben was talking that up. It wasn't really him slagging us off. We are a bit... I mean, I certainly am very nerdy when it comes to FPL.
Yeah, no, I think we all are. But it's just not nice to hear, is it?
But we're FPL for the casual player, remember?
Yeah, no, we're exactly. Cool FPL guys.
We're cool.
Cool. Oh, God.
Triple
Jesus
Captain.
Christ.
We're cool FPL guys.
Right, let's end the podcast there. I've had enough of this.
You've been listening to Triple Captain from Sound Rebel, and we hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please subscribe on your chosen podcast app. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then please rate and review us to help more people discover this podcast. And follow at Triple Captain 3 on Instagram and Twitter. Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.